bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner.
Today, our study comes from the New Testament book of Philippians, the first chapter in verse 21, a very familiar verse, as we focus our thoughts on what is the driving force of your life. As far as the Apostle Paul was concerned, that driving force was Jesus Christ. To learn more, we encourage you to join with us for today's study. But first, let's be strengthened by this special musical presentation of Amazing Grace. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me today to the New Testament book of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And there I'd like to read from the first chapter in verse 21, where we will focus our thoughts on the driving force of your life. Once again, we'll be reading from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. As we begin, I do want us to focus on that basic thought of the driving force in your life. And so I want you to ask yourself, as you take a quick inventory of your life, what is the driving force in your life? Now, sometimes that can be answered in terms of motivation. Sometimes it can be answered in terms of encouragement. And then sometimes it can be answered in terms of what sustains us. So what is it that motivates you? What is it that encourages you? What is it that sustains you? Again, the bottom line is, what is the driving force in your life? Well, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul very simply, but yet very profoundly states, "For to me to live is Christ." Now this phrase, "for to me," is very similar to us saying, "as far as I'm concerned." So as far as Paul is concerned, for him to live is Christ. And the idea of living here is a comprehensive term speaking of the entirety of one's life. Therefore, everything about Paul's life, the living of that life, is summed up by the phrase Christ. The idea here of Christ is virtually equivalent to how Paul sees himself and the living of the life that God has given to him. Now, this statement here seems to be something of a summary to what he has just said in verse 20. So go back with me and let's look at verse 20. Here Paul writes, "According to my earnest expectation and hope." Now, let me stop there just for a second and notice that the term "according" basically means conformity. So conforming to his earnest expectation and hope, which just basically refers to the truthfulness, the sincerity of his expectation and hope, which of course references Jesus Christ, or more specifically, the return of Christ, when Christ will bring forth, when he will fully deliver on everything that he has promised. It will be the full and complete salvation of the people of God. So conforming to this expectation, this hope, he states that in nothing, that in absolutely nothing, he will be ashamed. But, and the term "but" is a term of contrast, so instead of this thing of being ashamed, just the opposite, he says, "but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." So instead of being ashamed, his desire is that he will consistently be bold, which leads to Christ being magnified in his body. And all of us understand what magnified means. It means to make big, to make large. So Paul's desire is that Christ will be magnified in his body, or more specifically, in the way that he lives, because we do live life within the body. And then to finish it off, he states that this is either by life or by death. Now, the Apostle Paul had undergone a great deal of harsh treatment in his service to Christ. He has been rejected by his own people. He's been persecuted. He's been left for dead. He's even had to stand before authorities to defend his actions. And so by his life, he has very clearly magnified Christ in all that he has said, in all that he has done, and in all of his responses to the difficulties that he's experienced in being faithful to the ministry that Christ has given to him. But he also comes to a point that even by death, he anticipates that if he were to die, either as a martyr or by the hands of the authorities, or in faithful service, he is convinced that even in his death, Christ will be magnified. So either in life or death, his desire is for Christ to be magnified. Now, let's let this statement sink into our minds for a moment. Christ will be magnified in my body. Now, this reminds me of the statement made by John the Baptist when he said that he must decrease. In other words, there came a point when John recognized that in his own ministry and the preparation for the coming of Messiah, he was attracting a lot of attention. Fairly large crowds were coming out to hear him, to see what was going on. But he understood that it was not about him. And so when Christ comes on the scene, he understands that he must decrease. But on the other hand, he clearly recognizes that Jesus must increase. Now, this is a constant battle that most of us face. For a lot of us, there's just way too much of, quote, me in our lives and not enough Jesus. Instead of saying, for me to live is Christ, a lot of us say, for to me, or as far as I'm concerned, for me to live is Scott, or you can put your own name there. We become the driving force of our life. It's all about our wants, my pleasures, my agenda, my actions, my responses. And the examples can go on and on. The bottom line is that it's all about me. We make it about us. But the reality, however, is that it is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. And this is especially true if we profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. In other words, it is always about Him. It is about Him in everything. And we need to underscore that. It is about Christ in everything. Now, Paul's desire, Paul's passion, was for everything in his life to boldly and clearly magnify Jesus, to make Jesus the most important thing. Now, in this way, his life witness would be both productive and meaningful. Now, having said that, let me ask you, is this true for you? Is your life productive? Is your life meaningful? You see, when our life is centered on us, we become unproductive, and our life becomes a hindrance to the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about that. When we center everything in life on us, it is then that we become unproductive in the service of Jesus Christ. And we lose the meaning that our life is designed to have. Now, unfortunately, this is so true for a lot of people who call themselves Christians. And it's true in a very practical way because Jesus Christ is not everything to us. He is not everything in life. And that's not to be judgmental. It's just to state the facts. Because if Jesus Christ were everything to us, not only would our lives be radically different, but our lives would also be productive in the service of Jesus Christ. Our life would be marked by meaning. But the fact is that many of us are really of little service or value in the service of Christ. Because we're not geared into thinking of ourselves as servants of Christ, of Jesus Christ being central in everything in our life. But rather, what is most important is us and what we want. And so again, anytime we focus upon ourselves, when we put that as the center of our affections, the center of our desires, the center of our actions, We create a very narrow existence because we have positioned ourselves to be, quote, the center of the universe, that everything revolves around us. And so by necessity, we cannot be useful in the service of Christ, because a major component of being useful in Christ is the giving over of ourselves to Christ to do His will and not to focus upon what we want. Because what we want is just often simply a reflection of our sinful and selfish desires. But to do what Christ desires is a reflection of the perfect will of the Lord. So again, are you productive? Now, if you're in the workforce, you understand something about an employee being productive. And you're probably also very familiar with this whole thing of a employee being non-productive. Now, depending upon you and your values, your work ethic, when you see someone that's just standing around waiting to get a paycheck, then you clearly understand that they are not doing their job. They're not really doing what they're supposed to do to get paid. And it might even create a sense of resentment within you. You know they have a job to do, and yet you know that they're not doing it. They're being lazy. Well, in a lot of ways, that's just as true for Christians. Christians that are just standing around doing nothing, or Christians that are focused upon satisfying the desires of the flesh, whatever that may be. And that covers a lot of territory. But again, when we make it about us, we cannot be productive. And our life loses its meaning. Because Jesus clearly teaches us that that meaning of life, purpose in life, is about Him and doing His will. Now, as we look at the world, I think most of us understand that the world does not see Jesus. It doesn't clearly see Jesus. But what the world does clearly see is you and me if we are believers. And not only does it see us, it clearly sees our sinful and selfish desires. And this is something that we as Christians need to be mindful of. While the world may be in darkness, the world is able to see hypocrisy. They do have some idea when a person who claims to be a Christian is not living like a Christian. They do have the ability to see that, to see the hypocrisy, to see the inconsistency. And I would dare to say that probably one of the big turnoffs today is for people who are around individuals that call themselves Christians, but who tend to live in a way that is totally un-Christ-like. In other words, Christ is not everything for them. They see the misplaced priorities. They see the inconsistency in actions. They see the hypocrisy of saying, but yet not doing. They can sense the condescension, the pride, and the arrogance. And so in the final analysis, sometimes it doesn't matter what we say, because the world is deafened by our actions, by what we're doing. We're saying one thing, but yet we are living in a way that totally contradicts what we have professed. So when Paul says, for to him to live is Christ, he isn't just speaking about a lifestyle. Now, that much is true, but he's speaking about a lifestyle that is built upon love and sacrifice. A love so strong for Jesus Christ that it would gladly sacrifice everything, and we might even say at the altar of life, so that Jesus can be clearly seen in everything that we do. You see, Paul's desire was for Christ to be clearly seen in everything that he did, in everything that he said, and in everything that he thought. When Paul says, as far as I'm concerned, for me to live, this whole thing of living life is essentially equivalent to Jesus. That he wanted it to be conformed to Christ so much that when people, in essence, looked at him, they would see Jesus. So when people look at you, and again, especially if you are a professed believer in Jesus Christ, who or what do they actually see? Do they clearly see someone that is so in love with Christ that Christ governs everything that they do, everything that they say, and in all of their responses? Or do they see someone who says one thing, but yet their actions, their speech, their thought, their responses clearly reveals that it's really about them? The desire that every believer should have is that God would be merciful in allowing us to escape ourselves so that Jesus can be everything. Now, we will never be able to do that perfectly or completely in this life, but we can do so, so much better, and that our lives could actually have great impact on the lives of others. So while we may never fully escape ourselves, we can live so much more in a way where we could actually echo the words of Paul and say, as far as I'm concerned, me living is Christ. Now, as I give you these words, I don't want you to think for a moment that I have all of this mastered. I don't. I struggle. There are times when I fail miserably, because at a certain moment, it was more about what I wanted than what Christ wanted. And when you begin to see this, quite often there is this sense that we may actually be getting tired of getting in the way. And that's what happens. Our desires, our sinful and fleshly desires, get in the way so that it becomes about us and not about Jesus. But that's part of growing. That's part of maturing as a believer. We must be reminded that when we're spiritually born, we are not spiritually born full grown. We're babes in Christ. And there is a process of growing and maturing. But as we go through the process of growing and maturing spiritually, there comes a point when, more often than not, the reality of Christ being everything happens more consistently. Again, it's not something that we will perfect in this life, but it is something that we can grow and mature in, where it is more consistently demonstrated in our life. I mean, I am tired of getting in the way. And so that's one of the reasons why we are taught to crucify the flesh daily, or to die to self, so that Jesus Christ can be our everything, so that the world can clearly see the witness of Jesus in our life. So it's my desire, my prayer, is that more of us can truly say what Paul is saying here. And again, that is, as far as I'm concerned, to live is Christ. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, That's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.